Right. Well, good morning. As you guys do that, my name's Quentin, but most people just call me Q. Not to be confused with cute. I think I tell this sometimes. Like, sometimes I'll tell people like I meet, like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I go, oh, I'm Q, and they think I'm saying I'm cute. And they look at me like really weird, like, you're kind of conceited, you know? So I'm not saying that. It's Q, like the letter, all right? And that's what just people call me. It started because there's a guy in my class growing up whose name was Clinton, and I was Quentin. And we kept getting confused in class, so people would start calling me Q and calling him Clinton, and so it just kind of worked out. But I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to share with you this morning. I want to say, would you still have the honor, I want to say thank you for what you give, because it does a lot of different things. You may or may not know this has been going on, but we've had Ice Skate Albertville happening downtown that you guys are a part of. Albertville.us does that, and we're one of the sponsors of that, and it's kind of an organization I got to spearhead and put together. And in fact, if you have a kid that's in our children's ministry today, they're going to get a free ticket to go ice skate today on us. So if you're in here and your kid's in here, you didn't get a ticket, go by there. Make sure you get a ticket to take your kid ice skating today if you want to do that. It's fun. It's cold. It feels like it's ice skating weather. And I spent pretty much almost 10 hours a day since Thursday out there in this amazing, great weather. I know I'm getting old when this happened. This is the first time this ever happened to me last night. I was in the cold for so long. I'd been standing up. I'd been there since like a little after lunch. And I'm standing there last night around 9 o'clock. We had another hour, half or so till we go home. And my hip joint started hurting. All right. I knew that is some, I'm getting old when coldness makes my hip joints hurt. All right. And but it did. Like I was like, golly, I'm getting stiff here. It was so cold that my phone doesn't work right now because I had it plugged in playing music from it on the sound system. And when I tried to pull the cord out, the tip of it had froze off and like broke in my phone. So if you try to call me right now, I can't hear you, which drives me insane because apparently I have headphones on my phone forever. They're invisible magical headphones that I can't find, but it thinks I have headphones on, and so it will not let me hear out of my speaker on my phone. It's a really cool, interesting thing that happened to me. Cold weather. It does that type stuff. And it's fun, but it's been a lot of work. The snow was great. I loved it. Everybody loved playing in that. For me, it just like tore a bunch of tents up, and I'm trying to get snow off of there. It's just it turned into a really busy day, but it was incredible. And here's the thing, you know, things can be so busy and so hectic and so crazy, and just tons of stuff going on, you know, that you have to like stop, and you have to really focus on the moments and realize the great moments that happen. And Thursday, it's really cool. There was a girl who's she's a young girl. She's probably about 5 or 6, and she has to use a walker to walk. She's got some things where her legs don't necessarily work the way that maybe mine and yours do. And she came out there to ice skate, and watching people help her and her being able to ice skate and just have this moment for the first time, be able to do something that she maybe never dreamed she'd be able to do, it's just incredible. And in that moment, it makes all the craziness, all the busyness worth it, right? Because it's in that moment you see something really incredible. You see someone experiencing something super fun. And you guys, just thank you so much for making that possible. That's just something we got to do as a church. It's really, really cool. We've been going through this Christmas series starting last week. Todd taught, and I'm going to be teaching this morning. And I want to kind of look at this idea of how things get really crazy and how things get really busy, and then how sometimes we miss these moments. Because the moments are really, really important, you know. And in the hecticness of everything can like catch up with us in our life. Especially, I don't know why at Christmas time it seems to ramp up a whole lot, right? I mean, it happens in everyday life too. I mean, the other day we had I have three daughters. So two of my daughters were in with a play at the school. And then I had two of my daughters playing basketball as well. So I had the play happening, so we had to go to play rehearsals that lasted forever and then get to basketball practices and everything. And you would think, my girls thought nothing was going on. And so I don't know if you've ever had this experience with kids, or maybe you had the experience growing up yourself, but I would be like, hey, go get your shoes and put your shoes on, all right? Then turn to the next girl, and as I turn, I look back at this one, and she's doing her little dance around here. I'm like, no, it's not dancing time. It's time to go find your shoes and put your shoes on. You know, and then she like I walk off to get somebody else's jersey out of the dryer to put this on. You know, try to get a water bottle because you have this. And I come back and she's playing with Barbies. It's like, go get your shoes. To which she replies, I can't find them. Like, you have not moved from this spot. Unless you have x-ray vision, no wonder you can't find them. And it's just hectic. Like, you're just like, we got to hurry. It's this rushness. It's like, we got to get this thing done. We got to figure out what to do. We got to make something happen. I mean, it's how we feel sometimes. And it's just the busyness of everything. And at Christmas, it just escalates. You got parties to go to. You got people to go see. You got stuff happening to your work, stuff happening here, stuff happening to your friends. It just seems like there's so much going on. Your family stuff. Me and my wife come, both of our parents are divorced and remarried. So we have this great fun game we play every Christmas that's called, which family do we love more? All right? I mean, it's a lose-lose game, you know? Because there's no way, like, if you know, it's like you try to find out who you're going to go see. And nothing I love more than getting up on Christmas and trying to go to four different places. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's the greatest thing ever. I can't wait. Woohoo! You know? It's a business of, you know, it's just like so much sometimes. And the problem is, in the midst of this, we're like missing this moment, you know? We're missing this moment that it's supposed to all be about. Now, I think maybe the issue with it is really this moment supposed to be about remembering Jesus and worshiping Jesus, but we get so wrapped up in worshiping so many other things during this time. And we get wrapped up in worshiping what we're going to get, the stuff that we're going to get, the gifts that are going to come, the bonuses that we're going to get. How do we get a good Christmas bonus? What are we going to do with a Christmas bonus? Where are we going to go? What trip are we going on to? What are we buying our kids? And what are we buying each other, our spouses? What are we buying our friends? What are we going to get for Christmas? Like, we just get so caught up in worshiping all this stuff, you know? It just becomes this, it gets our attention, it gets our focus, it gets what we zone in on. We worship our kids, and we're like, oh, Chris is all about making our kids have this great and fun experience. We just want to make it like the greatest thing, and you know, and we just do all this stuff. My kids went on a field trip to Santa's Village last week, or one of them did, and I went with them. And Santa wasn't even there, which I thought was the greatest thing. Like, Santa was sick and didn't make it to Santa's Village. And you had to explain that to, you know, a six-year-old. Well, you know, Santa's sick, but Santa's magical. I know. It was a bad sickness, you know. So, like, you know, you're trying to explain, like, you know, that Santa got sick and he wouldn't be able to be there. But it's all about that experience, all about seeing this, all about doing it. And you're just like, oh, man, we just worship so much stuff and so much going on. It's like, man, we're missing the moment. We're missing the meaning of all this. And it's just exhausting. And see, the truth is that we worship all the time, everybody. It's not like, okay, I got to get myself ready to worship. No, we worship all the time. We're made to worship. We're created to worship. The question becomes, what are we worshiping? Now, I told you, I think I mentioned I got three daughters. It's just incredible. I mean, I love it. You know, it's really awesome. And at the same time, many days, it's the most terrifying thing in my life. All right? Because I don't understand them. Their thought process, it's like I'm studying. I'm going through this 18, I guess all together, it'll be like 25-year college degree program on women that these three young ladies are teaching me, you know, which is incredible. It's so much to learn. But there was a show that came on a few years back, and I only watched it this last year. I was flipping through Netflix, and there's a show called Last Man Standing. And I heard Matt talk about it, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but I turn it on, and it's this Tim Allen plays this main character, but he's raising three girls. And in a moment, I was like, I need to try to glean something off this. Anything can help at this moment, right? So I'm like, I'm going to learn. And each time I watch it, I just feel like I want to hang my head in shame. Like, this is not, like, I feel like it's telling my future. And I'm like, no, this is not my future, you know? But I say that, it's one of the episodes, it just kind of shook me. And it had nothing to do with the three girls, but they're trying to do some of the things that the mother does on Christmas time to take some of the stress off the mother, because sometimes moms carry a lot of stress at Christmas time. They have a lot to get done. And so one of the things she always did is she set up the nativity scene at the church, which I think is really cool. Like, nativity scenes are this thing that remind us of the moment. They're the thing that the reason I think they're really cool when we see them around, they're telling us the reason for Christmas is that Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth. It was the moment that all of the Old Testament, all of creation had been waiting for. It was the moment where a hopeless world saw hope step into it. It was the moment where a lost society, a lost humanity saw salvation step into it. You know, it was the moment where everyone who was waiting for something to give them purpose saw Jesus step into it. And what nativity scenes do is they set that stage for us. In fact, Chris Johnson, he mentors me. He's a pastor at First Baptist here in town, and I've known him a long time. Amazing guy. But that guy loves Christmas more than anybody, all right? He just loves Christmas. In fact, if you start looking at his Facebook page in July, in fact, you all should go like his Facebook page. It's just great. Chris Johnson's a huge, awesome support. He loves us. He partners with in things we do. Awesome guy. Here's what is on his Facebook page like in June. He puts a countdown of days to Christmas. I mean, the guy loves Christmas. He brought me an iPod that was completely full. I don't know how you feel an iPod, all right? Like a 16-gig iPod that was completely full of Christmas songs, and there was no two songs the same. That's impressive, all right? You love Christmas. And in fact, if you go into his office, which I go there quite regularly, if you go into his office and look on the shelves around his office, all the shelves, if they don't have books on them, have nativity scenes. He collects nativity scenes. In fact, he's got like over 100 nativity scenes in his office. And I love that because it is saying this is the moment that matters. This is what we'll remember. This is where our worship should be pointed. This is where our attention should be pointed. Well, in that show, when they go to set it up, one of the son-in-laws wasn't a believer and thought it wasn't okay to just have Jesus in this manger. And so he takes everything out of the nativity scene, everything, and he leaves an empty manger, empty stable area in the nativity scene, and puts a sign above it that says, "Your God here." And I wasn't like just like, "Oh, I can't believe he's doing this." But what I thought in the moment was, man, I think that's what we do. I think we take the moment that matters, we take the thing that should get our worship, and we remove it so many times in our life, and we put whatever's convenient for us in the moment right there. And it was just like, golly, that's who we are sometimes. Like we wake up and we put ourselves there. Sometimes we're our God we put there. We put things there. We put money there. We put power or position there. We put relationships there. We put our kids there. You know, we put their successes there. Whatever we can put, sometimes we put ministry there. We put our gods right there. And in those moments, those are the things we worship, and we don't worship the one who created the moment. We don't worship Jesus. And this morning, what I want us to do in this season is hopefully encourage us to begin to look toward Jesus and remember the moment. That we would, in our lives, live lives that worship Jesus, that don't worship whatever's convenient for us to put in the manger right now. So the scripture I want to look at for that is actually Luke chapter 2. Looking at Luke, the Gospel of Luke's account of the Nativity is one of the best ones, in my humble opinion. But Luke chapter 2, we're looking at verse 8, starting this out. And we're going to look at a group of people who is not like what you would think is the normal people that announcement's going to be made to. In fact, like if you said today, like, okay, Quentin, the most important announcement is going to be made today. The most important announcement is going to be made. Who do you want it to be made to, Quentin? Well, I'm going to be like, okay, I don't know. It's the most important in the world. Yeah, most important announcement in the world. All right, then you probably might want to go to the White House and tell some of those folks, or you might want to call, NATO or tell them, or I don't know, you might want to call some king, or you might want to, I don't know, you need to find somebody, I don't know, whoever you think is the most. You might want to call NASA and tell them this is going on. Maybe you call Disney, since apparently they own everything, and tell Disney, hey, Disney, this is happening. I don't know who you call. But you got to call somebody important with the most important announcement in the world. But yeah, when we see the story happen here in Luke, when we see the moment begin to take place where Jesus is being born, The announcement doesn't go to any of those folks. The announcement in that moment, we're going to read, happens to some shepherds. Which is incredible, right? Because shepherds are like your blue collar, like just run-of-the-mill guys. You have to understand, shepherds were not very like skilled. They weren't even considered skilled labor at the time. They were considered just blue collar. Like it'd be like factory workers. Like you go out, you take care of the sheep. It's something you learned at an early age. Shepherds could be shepherds at an early age. They could continue that on. If you couldn't make it something else, you could at least be a shepherd. You had one job. Don't let the sheep die. Walk with them. Make sure they eat grass on the ground. You don't have to feed them. They eat the grass on the ground. Take them to water. Let them drink. It's a very simple job. It's kind of like if the most important announcement, if somebody was coming to give us the most important announcement, I imagine one of the jobs, I've worked a lot of different jobs, and they've all been great. I was talking to somebody the other day how all these jobs have taught me something one way or another. For a while, I worked at Mitchell's Grocery, all right? It's a very blue-collar job. It's a great. I had fun. I learned a lot of stuff there, but I just couldn't imagine. I'm working at Mitchell's Grocery. I got my pallet jack. I'm driving around picking up pallets of groceries to load on the truck, right? So I'm over here. I'm going, okay, I got to load so much flour. I got to get, you know, 7 cases of beans on here. You know, I'm just doing this. And all of a sudden, like an angel appears. He goes, oh, yeah, hey, Q, what's up? I go, hey, what's going on? I need to make an announcement to you. We got to tell you something. It's the most important announcement in the world. And I'm like, in Mitchell's Grocery going, do you know you're in Mitchell's Grocery? Like, why are you announcing the most important thing in the world here? This is what's about to take place. And there's a reason for this. Right from the get-go, here's what Jesus is saying. My kingdom's different than every other kingdom. The people who are the least are the greatest. He's saying right from the beginning, this moment is not for the elite. This moment is for the world. This moment is for everyone. This moment is for all to see, all to touch, all to hear. And I'm going to tell it to those who the world thinks is the least and let them be the ones to enjoy this moment. So here's what we see. Chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, let me say this. If we're going to say, hey, let's try to figure out how to really focus in and worship Jesus and remember the moment this Christmas season, what can we glean from this story? I want to tell you just a couple things real quick, all right? Number one is this. Number one, that you understand they were out in the field. They were out in the field. They didn't have to experience this moment, all right, to experience this moment and to get to the place where they worship Jesus. This didn't have to happen at the temple. It could have said, the story could have been, but it's not. There were some shepherds who decided to pin up their flock and go to the temple and worship. And while they were at the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. But it doesn't say that. It says, while they were out in the field, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, here's why this is important to me. The place where we need to shift our focus and to really worship God isn't right here this morning. You guys have done a great job this morning of worshiping God. In fact, Nick comes up here. He takes his shoes off many times. He jumps around like a madman sometimes. You have all the freedom to worship God however you want to in here. This is not a hard place to worship God. We talk about God. I've said Jesus' names multiple times today. So this is a really friendly place for you to come and worship God. Where it's harder to worship God is when you're at your workplace, or when you're at school, or when you're at home with your family, or when you're riding down the road, or when you're eating at your favorite restaurant, or when you're grabbing a cup of coffee, or when you're at the DMV trying to get your license renewed. These are the places where it's harder to worship God. Yet these are the places that we're out in the field. This is where we are out doing the things that we do every day, staying life, and in those moments, if we want to really remember who and what we're supposed to be doing, we have to remember who Jesus is in those moments. See, this true worship experience about to take place in these shepherds happens in the field. And the truth, man, we need people who are not just coming to church on Sunday to worship, but are realizing that every time they go to work or every interaction they have, those are special moments where their life can show worship. where we can have these moments that matter. You know, you have to be intentional about this, by the way. I'm coaching two of my daughter's basketball teams, all right? And that's not because I'm insane, all right? I am insane, but that's not the only reason I'm coaching them. I really enjoy basketball. I tried to coach soccer one year, and it was very frustrating because I never played soccer, and when they weren't doing well, I didn't know what to say. Kick the ball harder! You know, like, there was no strategy in that, you know? Get it! Like, I'm screaming from the sideline, get it! Like, I'm like, man, you're an idiot. Like, I'm thinking, you're an idiot. You know nothing about this sport. Stop coaching this sport, you know? Basketball I played some. I played in high school, and so I know a bit about it, and I enjoy coaching it more. But the reason I coach my daughters is not just so that I can help them learn how to play basketball. Basketball is a very temporary thing in this world. You know? The reason I coach is because I get to coach eight other girls on each of those teams who all have parents who may or may not know how much Jesus loves them. And so I get to be a volunteer coach. I'm not getting paid. And I get to talk about anything I want to talk about. And in that moment, I realize that coaching is not about basketball. Coaching is not about my kid being the next LeBron James. Coaching is about Jesus. Coaching is about worship. And in those moments, I worship if I use those moments to honor and remember who Jesus is. To realize that those girls need to know what Christ's love looks like. And those parents need to know that somebody cares. See, that's taking a moment and not making it about worshiping a sport or worshiping about success or worshiping about how many wins we have in the win column, but taking a moment and worshiping Jesus in it. And you will do that. You will do that 30 times tomorrow. You'll have a moment where you have to decide, is that moment about you? Is it about your finances? Is it about how you look or how you feel or how you succeed? Is it about this person or that person? Or is that moment about Jesus? And you'll make that decision. And it'll be out in the field. It won't be in here. In here, the moment's easy to make the decision, right? For most people. Sometimes somebody's telling me earlier, like, oh, I saw someone on Snapchat in the middle of church. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do about that. You know? But for the most part, you guys are tuning in. And we're here. We're worshiping. We're focused. But tomorrow is a whole other story. It's different. And you have to make that decision to be intentional to worship in every moment. It happens in the field. And the thing is, the other stuff that we try to worship is so fleeting. I saw them in the first service. You know, I have every now and then somebody introduce me and they're like, I'm speaking somewhere, or if I'm speaking to like high school students or whatever, they'll be like, oh, it's Quentin, he played college football. And I just laugh inside. Because like the thing is, you know what that means. Like I played, let me be real honest, look, all our cards, I played Division III college football, all right? That's it. And you know what it does for me today? Nothing. I can't remember one year of my life because I had four concussions. That's what it does. But everything else, it doesn't do anything. And the truth is, all the things that we sometimes worship that we think matter so much, our success, our money, our bank accounts, our stuff, our cars, our house, all this stuff that we are, you know, this relationship, that relationship, you know, how much influence we have, all those things that we worship, when our life's over, they will mean very, very little. What will matter is in those moments, did we live for Jesus? Did we worship Jesus in those moments? So you do that in the field. And then it says, I want you to understand this too. It says that they were filled with great fear. And let me tell you, it is a fearful thing. When we try to shift Christmas away from just consumerism and shift it back to really just focusing and loving Jesus and being all about Jesus, when we try to shift our lives away from just accumulating things and trying to say my life is about living for Jesus, it is scary. It's scary. It's not necessarily the most comfortable thing. And it will make you afraid. And see, sometimes I see the reason people don't really do things in the moment for Jesus is because they're waiting on God to give them some big revelation. They're waiting on God to tell them, you know what? I've called you to move to Uzbekistan and start a church. And they're like, okay, I'm going. And until that moment, until some big revelation happens, they feel like they just kind of live life and be normal and just go to work, go to church on Sunday, you know, sing a song every now and then, listen to 107.5 and feel like they've done their duty. What if God's every day calling you to engage and to be about Jesus, to worship him in your life every single day? It is scary. It will be uncomfortable, but it's what God's called us to do. When I moved back here 3 years ago, one of the coolest experiences, I started going to a coffee shop in Albertville, started going to Jamocha's getting coffee, and there was a young lady who was barista there, and she just made it very clear to me that she was an atheist. And so when I'd go in, I'd make a point to order my coffee, and if it wasn't very busy, I'd sit at the bar and have a conversation with her for about 5 or 10 minutes before I had to leave. And I tried in some way to let her know who I was and what I believed. And she was like a huge, you know, Bernie Sanders fan. It was election time, and she thought, since I'm from Oregon, like, I must understand her because, you know, I'm from Oregon, and, you know, I moved back. And so, like, she wanted to have these long conversations and all this, and we just kept talking and kept talking. And you know what happened one day? She came in, she goes, "Hey, do you know a guy named Jeb?" And Jeb's guy goes to church. I go, "Yeah, I know Jeb." And Jeb was with LifePoint from the very beginning. And she goes, "Yeah, Jeb told me he knew you too. And Jeb told me that you used to disciple him." And she said, "And I told Jeb that I think Quentin's discipling me too." And all it took in that moment was not, you know why we go to coffee shops usually? Anybody want to give a guess? For what? Yeah, because you know what? We need caffeine because we are tired and it is cold. Or if it's not cold, we still need caffeine. And we want caffeine to make us function. Coffee shops are most always about us, right? We go in and we order the thing we want, and we can get whipped cream or not whipped cream, and we can get cinnamon added if we want cinnamon. We can get a mocha blanca, or whatever. We can get whatever we want. Coffee shops are awesome. But in that moment, man, it was just, and it wasn't like, it was, I didn't even go in there intentionally. You just kind of saw something, and God's like, "You need to engage in this." And in that moment, it's like, okay, this coffee shop experience is not about me anymore. It's about someone needing to know who Jesus is. And that happens every single day. And it is scary and it's not comfortable. But following Jesus is scary and it's not supposed to be comfortable. The comfort we receive comes in the life after this, not the one today. I mean, it just is. It goes on. It says this. It says, an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Man, it's awesome. Like, all of a sudden, everything opens up. There's just a ton of angels and the hosts there, and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest." You know, then they're telling these shepherds, this peace that Israel's been waiting for is now coming. They're saying, this is the moment. And these guys have to be, like, ecstatic. This moment's happening. They're realizing the moment they've been hoping for and waiting for is happening. The hosts are worshiping. They're worshiping. It's just incredible. And what do they do with it in this moment? It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they had made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they get told this, I mean, the angels tell them this thing, and then they do a couple of things. They say, "Let us go. Let us go." And this Christmas, what if we took this amazing moment, where Jesus comes in to history, where Jesus breaks in to change everything? What if we take this moment and what if we go everywhere we go with it? What if we go into every moment, into every conversation this Christmas season with Jesus being the forefront of it? What if when you go into your workplace, the people you're working with, or the coworkers you're working with, or the students that you're spending time with, what if you take this moment and you go, "You know what? Today is going to be about Jesus. Today is going to be about Jesus." And what if you're selling something? What if you're working at, you know, wherever? What if you're working at Taco Bell and you say, "Today, the people who come through I work with today at Taco Bell, I'm going to help them understand this is about Jesus." It doesn't mean you give everybody a sermon, but it means you change how you interact. You're looking for the moments you can worship him. You're looking for the moments that matter. You're looking for the moments that you can use to point to Jesus in your life. And you quit looking for the moments that you can point to you. We need less of those moments and more of those we point to Jesus. So it says that they said, "Let us go," and then it says, and they went with haste. You understand this? There was an urgency to this. They didn't go, oh, wow, cool. Heaven's just opened up and a lot of angels came and said some really awesome stuff. You guys want to go grab something to eat and then maybe head over there? That's not what they said. It was done. They said they went with haste. They said, look, whatever the plans they had before that moment were radically changed. They weren't kind of changed. It wasn't like, hey, let's go get the sheet put up and then we'll go. No, it was with haste they went over there. And the truth is, guys, we've met Christ. If Christ is who we put our faith in and believe, if we have understood his death and resurrection as our salvation, if him coming on the scene means as much to us as it does to those guys, then we should not be waiting to make Jesus convenient in our life. We should not be trying to figure out how Jesus fits into our busy schedule. We should not be trying to figure out how we can find 10 minutes at the beginning or end of our day to do a Bible study. Our whole lives should be about him. And there should be an urgency to that. To realize that every moment, every conversation is an opportunity for Jesus to bleed through our lives. For the light to shine, to bounce off us and show everyone who the true light is. It's this opportunity for us to let other people know the hope that we've experienced is available to them. But you have to be intentional. There has to be a haste to that. There has to be this desire for that. And honestly, the reason for it doesn't exist for some of us is because we for too long have not been about that. We for too long have just lived our lives for ourselves and had our conversations for ourselves and did our things for ourselves and just figure out how we can survive or be most successful or do the thing that gives us the most joy. And it's just been all about us. And it's been about us for so long that we forgot. We forgot that moment, however long it was, when you first understood what Jesus does. When Jesus changed it all. When Jesus took brokenness and made something beautiful. When Jesus took what was lost and brought it home, we've forgotten those moments. And because we've forgotten those moments, we haven't lived them out. And so this Christmas, maybe we need to remember the moment. The moment when Jesus first comes on the scene for the world, but also the moment that Jesus comes on the scene for us. The moment that Jesus changed everything for us. I mean, the moment when life used to, we knew life was just kind of this thing that didn't matter, to the moment Jesus came in and made it this incredible thing that has eternal, eternal magnifications. And we need to remember that Jesus loved us so much while we were yet sinners, he sent his son. Our God loved us so much when we were yet sinners, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. That's the moment. That he took on all the pain. He took on all of our mistakes. He took on all of our mishaps. All the times we've thought of ourselves and been selfish. He took on all that. He took it to the cross and he paid for it. So that when our life's over, when my final moments down here is done, then I get to be with God. I don't have to be separated from him. I get to be with him forever. I get to be with many of you forever because of Jesus and what he accomplished for us. These are the moments we need to remember. The bottom line this morning, I think we need to do what the shepherds did in that moment. We understand this. Where you set your eyes, your feet will follow. Whatever you decide tomorrow in all of your moments to place in that manger, whatever you decide to give the highest amount of value in your life in the moment, that's where your feet are going to take you. If Jesus is the most important thing and you worship him and set your eyes on him, you will follow him. You will realize every moment you get to share about him. That every moment is about him. But if you focus on yourself or whatever else this world may have to offer you, that under your feet will take you where your eyes are. I pray that we, through this season and through our lives, will focus on Jesus. Remember the moment He changed us. Let's pray.